Father in heaven, we thank you again for the precious songs that are written around the Word of God that makes us mindful about who you are and what you've done. Think of this precious book. We have the information about you that those songs will be written about, Lord. And thank you for the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living in us to help us teach this precious book, preach the Word of God, and yet also on the other end for those to listen. They also have the Spirit of God if they're saved. If not, they have the pressure of the Holy Spirit of God drawing them to the Lamb of God that they might become a child of God. So this morning I ask that you open this precious book, honor yourself as we do our best to submit to the Spirit of God to let Him do what He needs to do to help us know about your plan, your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn first of all to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I believe this will be a blessing for being here today. My desire, and I have this asked a lot of times, and it seems like more so in these days, I guess because we're having so much variety of people telling us they heard from God. You know, it amazes me the number of people that are talking today, they hear from God, but it's not from this book. You know that? I mean, hear it all the time. Not too long ago, I heard a person was talking that God had took him to heaven. And he was going to tell the experience. And so a crowd of people, according to the television, went to hear and talk about what God showed him when he was in heaven. Not one time will the Bible open up. I don't hear nothing like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you, if you listen to me today, you're going to find out this book tells us all we need to know. And if anything you experience don't line up with this book, you need to leave it alone. That's all there is to it. And I hope you understand what we're talking about today. We want to talk about, how do you hear from God? How do you know when you hear from God? Is there a time you think you're closer to God than others? But how do you know? So how do you hear from God? We listen to words. Knowledge talks. Wisdom listens. And then we act. And so we're going to look at God's Word, which talks. And give us wisdom. Ask God to do that. And thank God for vocabulary. Thank God for language. Amen. I'd hate to have to get up here and grunt and growl, and a lot of you won't know what I was talking about. But words, we can understand that. It amazes me what happens in life. I heard that someone was telling one day, you always heard this in my life. I never heard the latter this part, but I've always heard this in my life. Keep in mind, the early bird gets the worm. You ever heard that before? Well, a little fellow said in class one day, the teacher said, now the early bird gets the worm. And a little boy raised his hand, teacher, yeah, that's true, he said, but keep in mind, the early worm gets eaten. Well, there are some things of truth to all things, isn't it? I can't imagine this. I was reading this past week in Vermont. They had the books of the law in Vermont, the state of Vermont, that was a legal binding, but they never took it off the books. And they said that they have a law that women must get written permission from their husband to wear false teeth. I can't imagine why they, somebody must not have grumbled because that had been taken off. Isn't it amazing? They grumble about some things now that he's a lot worse than that is. I also read that we're in Kentucky, had a law, still had a law in Kentucky, the state, that in every Kentucky citizen is required to take a bath at least once a year. I had to be back in colonial days, didn't it? It must have been make such laws that. But anyhow, watch what we read. I'm going to read these verses, and I'm going to give you verses for others real fast, like, because I want to go back. I want to go back from the beginning and look at biblical, how God gave us information, how He spoke, bring us up to date, and tell us how we get it today. Well, this book doesn't leave us ignorant about this. We know back to Genesis in the beginning, we see in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, he's talking about Adam here, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thou shalt surely die. So we know God spoke to Adam personally in the garden. Amen? Amen. So I want you to get this, and you'll understand where we're going to in just a moment. Now if you go to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13 and down a few verses, and we read a few, which I'm going to read tonight, the day, because it was Jacob. Jacob now had been sent to look for a wife. And as he went down to Haran, went out from Beersheba to Haran, he made a bed out of some stones and so forth. And that night he had a dream. An angel was coming up and down from heaven on the ladder and so forth. Well, God made this statement. He told him and reaffirmed what he had already told Abraham. So if we go back and we look at how God spoke, He spoke to Adam and Eve. We know that. We also know He spoke to Noah and told him what to do about the flood and the ark. We also know that God spoke to Abraham, which was Abel at the time, and what He was going to do about making him a nation. We also now see He's speaking to Jacob at this time as he is going to search for a bride. And He says here, He confirms what He also has said about to Abraham where the territory lines would be. And He said in verse 13, "The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, of thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest to thee. I will give it and to thy seed." In verse 15, He said, "Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land, for I am not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to you." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." What an amazing thing that God would be somewhere and we didn't know it. And yet that's what Jacob said here. "Surely he's in this place." For he went to sleep, he did not know that God was there. But now he knew that he was there. So God spoke to Jacob at this particular time. And then you move on a little bit further in Exodus in chapter 25, we see God speaking to Moses and about what to do as far as Israel was concerned, and also about sacrifice. In chapter 19, he goes back, God spoke to Israel through Moses. So we see God communicating to His creation at times when things are going to be happening in life. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 and through 19, you'll find that Jehaziel, who was the Levite that God spoke to, because Jehoshaphat had fixing to have three kings to come against him to try to destroy Judah. And so he uses the Levite to tell him. He didn't just go tell Jehoshaphat. He told told Jehaziel to go tell Jehoshaphat the king that what he was going to do. He said, "Don't be afraid." Well, look at this a little bit later, a few minutes. He said God spoke through him and told him not to fear, because this battle was not his. This battle was the Lord's. And then you turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Now, we went from the Old Testament across it real fast. Like, we see God speaking to Adam. We see God's and speaking to Adam and Eve. We see He's speaking also later to Noah in chapter 6. We see Him speaking to Abram, which came Abraham later. We also see Him speaking in the prophets, because all the Old Testament, we see that happen down through the ages. And now we come down to the time of the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus Christ has come on the scene. In verse 1, He says, "God, who at sundry times," that is at different times, variety of times, "in diverse manners, in different ways, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet." So when Hebrews talks about this, right or less, he goes back and said, just pick up with the prophets. That's the major and the minor prophets. In those times, God spoke out from heaven through the prophets. He didn't speak to the individuals, Adam and so forth. Now He speaks through the prophets. He wanted the nation of Israel to know something. He spoke through a prophet to go to the king to tell the king what was going to happen. And now, but He comes down to this time, but notice what He said. And now He said, "In these last days," must started when Jesus came and still going on today, "these last days spoken, in these last, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Who is that? Jesus Christ. So He said there's a time now when the prophets, it seems to be as far as speaking like Old Testament prophet, Jesus is speaking now by His Son. And for 33 and a half years He lived, but we only heard His voice for about 3.5 years of the end of His life. And so He spoke and thus by His Son, whom He hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now here's the question. We understand, and some people are trying to go back and copy what God did to the Old Testament about speaking to us today. Someone's trying to copy what God said in the New Testament, went right in the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, how He spoke. But we find, if you turn to 2 Timothy with me, we come down to our day where Paul tells Timothy exactly how we are today. And he tells us the time came. You know why? It looks like the situation going, man's learning more. It looks like that it seems to copy, and Satan's always a copycat. He can copy anything in the world, that God wanted to set forth that He'd have an entire record from His days of starting until we see the end of this thing, how He would give His information communicated to human beings accurately. And so He inspired the Word of God, and He preserved it for our day. And he says again, we know this by Scripture. Paul said, "All Scripture is given in the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine." We know that's for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. That's conviction. It is profitable for correction, that's changing our lives as we obey God, and for instruction in righteousness, that's growth, as Peter tells us, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So he said he's given his word, he's inspired by his Holy Spirit, that you and I would have everything we need to know about God, and if we put it in practice in our life, God the Holy Spirit will develop some things in us and bring out your talent and bring out your ability where you can do exactly what God wants you to do unless you cause it to be damped and down or put down. In other words, God won't go beyond it. He won't burglarize our will to get saved, and he won't burglarize our will to serve God either. But we'll one day stand before him and wish we had. Because God lets us know our lives here, he blesses us with so much in life, but the main course of our life is to be where God would have us to be. And you don't hear much about that today. You hear about that if God loves you so much, he blesses you, and he wants you to have the best time in the world because you're going to heaven to a good place. They give us information in our day, ladies and gentlemen, that's far from this book. And that's one of the reasons this book's been changed ever so often. They say they change it for you to understand it better. No, they change it because they make money on it. And therefore, if you've got one you're looking at and they say they give you something better, every few years they get a new copy out, new revision out. So what? They'll keep turning money over. Because people will buy things if it makes them help those things later. So I want to look at through the scriptures just for a few minutes real fast, like, how do we hear from God? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know this nation was built upon this book. There's no doubt about this. There's no doubt what little, even unsaved people back in those days knew enough about what the book had to say that they felt like it helped to govern lives. And civil rights are understood as rights and to be treated equally under the law. We understand that in our day. Civil rights, everybody to be treated equal to try to have their rights. But the thing about it is when we and unsaved people, as we were before we got saved, when we are trying to have our equal rights, we'll go against what God has to say because we feel like some things are not all that wrong. And so here discrimination should not occur because of race and creed and age or other similar issues of life that the law is applied. God is the author of law. We wouldn't know what law is without what God had to say. God gave his law back in the very beginning, what the words, that is what God told even Adam and Eve was a law. If they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they're going to die. And so we know when we come down, even now, that you go to Mount Sinai, you see a lot of things in the law of our land that somehow or another looked at Mount Sinai, what God gave Moses and the Israelites, and it's maybe rearranged a little bit, but the basis is there. And so when God says a thing is wrong, it cannot be a civil right without going against him. We say, that's my civil right. I have a right to. Yeah, we do. But listen, a person can exercise civil right against something because they feel like that's okay for them. But if God says it's wrong, I don't care who declares it right. It's not right. So that's where we're looking at breaking of the law. And if the law, listen, government can't override what God said and says okay if God says it's not okay. But we're in that day. We're living in that day right now. And so here, the Bible states that marriage is between a male and a female. A male and a female. A male and a female. The word fee means she's different. She's entirely different. She's opposite of the male. Here this civil right is for male and female, and God only proves this in the scriptures as he said it, not the way we try to rearrange it or human race does. Guiding someone is one thing, but control of someone to make him do wrong is another thing. And that's where government sometimes overrides God. And by the way, when that happens, the day of come, God will snap that government out of condition and out of place because they're not going to override God forever. And puts it tough sometimes, but you know what? God's never been, we say this is tough. God's never seen it too tough he can't handle. And he can handle this nation, by the way. He has the power to do that. So too much control kills the human spirit. Now, three quick points on how do we hear from God? Number one, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the value of God's word. Because there's no value to something unless you put value on it. And when it's valuable, then we have to treat it as being valuable. And I tell you this, our Constitution in this country is valuable and need to be preserved. But our Constitution is not as valuable as this book is. It's good, but it's not valuable as this book. And so sometimes God speaks in general voice for us every day. That is, even he looks in that, that the heavens declare the glory of God. So there's a generalization that tells us about God, but doesn't tell us who He is. So there's a general voice every day of our life where we go. I don't care what you study. Study the anatomy of man, study space, study anything you want to study, and somewhere in the background it's going to have a mind behind it, and you're going to realize that even if a person comes up with something, there was a mind behind that person because God made that person. So there's a general talk about God everywhere, just the sense of the fact that what you see, there's got to be a supreme being. But on the other hand, I'm glad there's not just a general conversation or general word about God. There's some specific. Sometimes He speaks in a specific voice for big decisions. What is that? So we will know what this great God that demonstrates He's alive, who He is. And I can't know who He is unless I find the channel to get to Him. And I find this out, and this is what Satan tries his best to destroy Bible-believing churches. You can't know God without Jesus Christ. And you'll find a big percentage of this world will tell you you can. So where that's going to lead us? Without God's help, folks, it's going to do just what the world's doing, try to destroy us. Until God delivers us completely. And that may be the one reason why we're not doing as much for Him as that maybe just a few years ago. God, what word gives us structure? In Romans chapter 7 and verse 22 to 25, Paul makes it very clear that we battle the sin nature constantly. It amazes me. We battle it before we got saved, but after the Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, in chapter 7, he talked about how he was as a child of God. We fight it all the time. I find, he said, the law, that when I would do good and evil is present. Verse 21 of chapter 7. I delight in the law of God and after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. And the only way he said he could overcome that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he felt, even after he was saved, he knew how dangerous it was for people to be led by the flesh rather than by the Word of God. When man is left to himself, he's completely captive in to sin. The problem of sin nature far outweighs the problem of psychology. We are, at Romans 1:20, Paul says, we are as human beings without excuse not to believe God. Why? Because God has demonstrated that He's here, that He's alive, and that He is well. Now, the problem of the sin nature far outweighs the problem of psychology. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the question is this, are we psychologically ordained to sin? That's what the world's telling us. Oh, the reason that's that way, that's the way it was made. If there is a God, God made them that way, so there's nothing you can do about it. They have a right to do what they want to do that way. They don't have no choice. God made them that way. Isn't it an amazing thing? God gave us a mind. God gave us a will. It's like somebody said, he ended up in hell. Well, I didn't have no choice. He made me a sinner. We were all sinners, and God didn't make us. We fell because of Adam. But you see how foolish it is when you draw it back to the source? And so we find out about life today. Many people suggest that different people born with an inward desire to pursue certain things in life that others in society may declare morally wrong. And just because you declare it morally wrong, don't make it wrong for me because you're infringing on my life and I just don't believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what we believe unless God says it or don't say it. So I'm talking about how did you hear from God? They say that such a psychological desire to sin means that such behavior must be accepted. Well, God will never accept a behavior that He said He would not accept. Even I don't care what we say, we think we get so smart. So if my body feels like doing something, no one can tell me that it's right or wrong since the psychological desire is the way I was made. God made me that way, so therefore you have to tolerate it rather than condemn it. Well, first of all, we don't condemn it anyhow. Isn't it an amazing thing? We're just saying, hey, you can do it if you want to, but God has told me this way, I'm going to do it. In fact, we do a certain thing. They say we're condemning them. Well, they're trying to condemn us by doing it. So you see, it works both ways. What does God's Word have to say about these things? That's the only thing that matters. And isn't it amazing? You know and I know here what God's Word has said in a lot of places. We're not that, you know, I don't claim to be that smart or expert, but we know what it says, but they read the same thing and they say, no, don't say that to me. It's like you can say water is wet. Well, the water's not wet to me. Well, it's not wet to you. What is it? It's dry. Well, that's foolish. So I see Scripture is clear that flesh and sin nature is always with us in the physical life. Romans 7:21 said, this is a law of sin, Paul said. This is a law of sin that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In 1 John 1:9, John gave us this outlet. He said that, "For if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse all unrighteousness." So the question is this: how should the unsaved respond to God? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 said the wage of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, 10:11, He said, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes the righteous, mouth confession made unto salvation. Whosoever," verse 13, "calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved." 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." Now you tell me which is right, man, or what God has to say. So the unsaved message is come to God. Come through Jesus Christ. The life-changing message of salvation causes the unsaved person to see one's need of Christ Jesus as their Savior under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. This is where God gives us that information. And when a person reaches out by faith and receives Jesus Christ, what Jesus said in John 1:12 is true: to me is receive Him, to them gave me power to become sons of God. They become a child of God. Now the question is this: how should the Christian respond to God? Because he's going to have to respond to it. Person, "Well, I got saved. Thank God for that. I came through Jesus Christ." But God's not going to leave us to go by ourselves to just show what the Christian life is about. The same Bible that tells us how we can get saved is also the same Bible that tells us what God wants us to do, bringing our abilities out if we'll surrender to Him. And of course, Brother Keith been talking about it in Sunday school. So being saved does not do away with the sin nature while we are in these bodies of flesh. Our flesh has the potential to be conquered on the day of salvation. God has given us the power in Jesus Christ to conquer this flesh. But I'll tell you, it won't conquer itself. We have to do it. But it's not us, but God helping us. We ourselves, even a child of God, with all the power in the Holy Spirit we have, we don't have the power to conquer the flesh by ourselves, even after we're saved. But we have the potential to do that and be anything God wants us to be, as long as we follow what He says about the Christian life, just like we follow what He said about being saved. Because it works both ways. So I see this. Then to declare or discard the sin nature effect is to replace it with the satisfaction of oneself. And that's the reason in John 1:8, He said, "We deceive if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us." And don't get to the point, because if we don't realize the full nature is still there, yet we are cut off from it, spiritual circumcision, we have a power over it. This book hid in our heart will help us. If not, that sin nature will ruin a lot of folks who are Christian. Because just because you and I have the Holy Spirit in us that gives us a new creation, and because reason I know you still have the flesh is you in it. If you ever leave this, you're going to be not here. Your body's going to ground. My body's going to the ground. But my soul and spirit's going to be with God. And so will yours if you're saved. But ladies and gentlemen, while I'm here, I have the new creation now, but the old flesh is still here. And the old flesh will take over unless that new one is filled and fed and begins to show what power it does have. You can't conquer it in your own energy at all. And so here, to dismiss this, really, is the reality of sin, is to distort the gospel message. But the second thing is, to dismiss it also, is to claim that Christ died for nothing. In other words, we have to realize there are some things comes after salvation, much so as before salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, here is why growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord is needed, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Because genes and brains do not force us to sin. It might be that we sin because we just want to convict ourselves. It is not genes and brains that force us to sin. It's depraved hearts that forces us to sin. And once God takes our heart, makes it new, a new creation, He didn't remove us then from this old flesh. But He did cut it out so it wouldn't affect us if we'll grow by and let that new creation override it in the direct from God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, our spirit, our soul, and our body. So here, believers should know that God shows us that greater problem exists for us in life. It's called the sin nature. This nature goes beyond genetics. It goes beyond psychology. It influences one's soul. The thoughts and words influence us in life. And if it can be pure words or fleshly words. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't control, you could cuss as good as you can bless. And by the way, it's just as wrong to think it than say it. Amen? Think with me now. You see, God gets down where we live at. And so here's the thing about it. Really and truly, that's the reason one thing that a person who had a foul mouth is going to have a hard time after they get saved to conquer that thing. Because that'll fly up. Sometimes somebody will say, I've seen been saved and had a foul mouth, and be around and they say, preacher, I don't know why I said that. I do. You're going to have to work on it. You have to work on it. The Holy Spirit of God will help you work on it, but He'll never take it completely. He'll fix it where you can. Some people say it just takes it all the way. Well, praise God if you happen, but do find 99.9% of the people don't happen that way. You have to work on it. By the way, if He ever took it away, you'd never do it again. I wonder why some people do. I'll tell you why. That flesh is there. You know, God has given us information about ourselves. It's so amazing, but we sometimes don't like to listen to it at that. So the first thing, I must know the value of God's Word. Number two, God's people should set appointment with God on His terms. You go back and you find Exodus 19:10-11, 19:20. You find God told Moses, I'm going to meet with Israel on the third day. You tell them the first day, the second day, and on the third day, I'm going to meet with you. Get them ready. Tell them not to come to the mountain. You come on up here. If they touch the mountain when I'm down, He said, if one touches, going to die. But I'm going to meet. God set appointment to meet with the nation of Israel to instruct and also what Moses would do. We set appointments with people all the time. You won't go to the doctor this week without setting an appointment. And probably can't get one like you'd like to get it. We set appointments, don't we? We set appointments in this life. As a matter of fact, we set appointments to take trips. We set appointments to have the pleasure time. We set appointments for business. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, you know, there's a time, and goes through all those verses, 1 through 8, a time just about for everything. Why? Because our lives are geared because of time. We're in time, and we have to set appointments to govern our time in this particular life. Then why not set time and place when you are your best with God? Now, I never said this before, but I have to say it now. There's times you can't just say any time. Now, table grace is fine. When we go, we pray. But there won't be the time you set a time with God. My wife has done for years. My children will tell you the same thing. For years, at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock on the dot, she and I are praying together. If that phone rings, you don't ring at 9 o'clock. We're not going to answer it. We have for years and years here prayed. You know what we pray for? We start out with this church. We start with the board. We start with the teachers. We start with the buses. We start with the workers. We come down into the church and ask God to help every teacher here. Help boys and girls. We pray. We pray for the things with the time with God. It's for us. We pray and thank God for the blessings of life. But wait a minute, that's just for that time. But there's other times. You need a time to set with God so you would have some time to know, Lord, this is your time for me, but for you. Time to study. Time to do those things. If you do not, you miss out with fellowship with Him. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking your assembly together. You set a time. We have a time for church. We have a time for Sunday school. Time when we come together, and hopefully that God will be honored and praised, and we'll be drawn closer to Him through the Word of God that's been taught. I have a time to study. I study here a lot, all my free time. But I mean on study at home. I study at night. Every Saturday night there, I'm in there studying. But that's not enough. I've asked God to give me an early morning time to study with Him, to be with Him, when it's quiet in my study at the house. And think about this, I tend to get up between 3 and 4 o'clock. That's God in that brain train. That's it. It's time. I want with Him. When you say things, you think you're bragging. God knows it's not. I'm just telling you, folks, you need to have a time set with God. He deserves it because He's valuable to you. This morning, He kind of shaked it up with the new rain, so I didn't get up at 4 o'clock. I got up at 5. So I got to rework my clock a little bit. But what I'm saying to you, that's not holding the now. That's not being some religious zealous person. That's just said, God, you're so important in my life. I want to set some time. This isn't that He don't have the time, but if I don't set the time, it's I who mess up on the time. You alter time for that which you think is valuable. And God comes through a prepared atmosphere. Things are not done when things... There is poor preparation, and setting the times help with us in that preparation. And so not only I must note the value of God's Word, I must realize that God's not in time. Did you know right now every one of us could talk to God and He'd hear every one of us at one time? I can't, you can't. I have to listen to one person at one time. If I listen to two people, I'm confused. Right? So I have to set it so that for me, for my benefit, that where in turn, nothing interferes with that quiet time with Him. Then sometimes we must be still and worship God. Let me get that in just a couple things. Psalm 46, verse 10, He said, "Be still and know that I am God." In Exodus 14, 13, 14, He said, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 15, 17, and now a few verses I told you a while ago about Jehoshaphat. He said to tell Jehazar, "Go to him. Tell him the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Mount Seir is going to come against you. Three armies are going to surround Israel." But He said in verse 15, "The battle is not yours, Jehoshaphat. The battle is mine. You got to fight it, but it's not your battle. It's mine." And you see what took place. They had a great victory. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2-4, the church at Antioch met and they prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit said to them in impression of the heart, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for I've called them in the missionary work." And they did that. Jesus set an appointment with His Heavenly Father to pray. Go through the gospel to look at the times that God set aside to pray. Isn't it an amazing thing? He had appointed time to go and pray to God the Father, and He was God the Son in this life. One night He prayed all night long, just about. In the garden He was praying. Remember? Right before He was crucified. "This cup, if I can not have to bear this cup, let it pass from me. But nevertheless, Thy will." He had appointment. God the Son had appointment in prayer with God the Father. Psalm 119, verse 147. He said this, the psalmist said, I prevented the dawn of the morning and cried, "I hope in Thy word." God, I prevented the dawn in the morning. I cried, "I have hope in Thy word." It said, before the sunrise, I prayed for Your help to help me through this day. Prayer and read scriptures for your answer. 2 Timothy 2:15, study for yourself before the Lord. Pray for what is on your heart. In the private time with God. Some said there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one for every day that you can read. May I leave this thought with you? Set an appointment time with God. At these appointments, do this. Read the scriptures. Listen to the scriptures as you read them. That's when I like to be by myself. I like to read them out loud. I can read them silently, but I'll read them out loud. And listen to the scriptures as you read them. And then meditate and write what comes to your mind right after you do that. Because I believe that's when God speaks to us. It's not taking and saying, "I'll just, you know, get it out of the air." It's, "I've just read a portion of God's scriptures. Now let me prayerfully listen as I read it. And then let me think of what I read. And then it got impresses my heart. Write it down." I've got papers at paper. I got my desk full of. I've got it. I've got pads sitting around everywhere. And I write a little thing. You couldn't understand what it's like chicken scratching. It's just little notes every which way. And I just put them down because I can't get them in order. It's going too fast sometimes. And I just write it down. And then I come back and organize that later because it's going to lead to something. I don't say I'm a perfect actor, but I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, get along with God, read the scriptures prayerfully, listen to what God has said, and then think what you're thinking of those scriptures, and write it down. You know why? Because if you don't, Satan will snatch it from you an hour from now. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 said, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." Scriptures that you read, listen. Listen prayerfully and then write it down what you think. Such thoughts, his writing is a record of his leading while God whispers to you in the quietness of the hour of studying. You know why, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Try it. I beg you to try it. Because in the quietness of the hour by yourself, you're not being flooded with all other sounds. And the only thing you concentrate on what you're looking at that moment in the verses of Scripture. Not to try to prove something because you believe it, but trying to find what God wants you to believe about something. Some people study Scripture to try to argue with someone else. I never do that. I want to study it to find out what God is saying for me to grow thereby. And then I see God wants us to direct our life. And so what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, when you read God's Word, listen what you read prayerfully. And then in the quietness of the hour, write down what you thought you saw. And I like to do this. I like to write down what I thought I saw then, and I got it. If I go back to that again, I write down what I thought, and then I compare the two. What's the difference I saw 5 years ago, or last week, and this week? And I say to you, when you read God's Word, then you begin to say, Lord, like Isaiah of old, Lord, here am I. Send me. Hear my Lord. Please send me. Please do not let me get sidetracked from your goal. Now I say to you in close, if you're here today, God's goal for you, He loves you so much, He wants you to be saved. But He'll not burglarize your will. He's not wishing that any should perish. You mark it down. That's what He means. Well, preacher, if you're not wishing any should perish, let him save them all. That's not it. He's not wishing any should perish, but He is wishing that you receive the message He gave about His Son. Someone listened by radio. Someone listened by Ustream. On the other hand, you, most of us, are saved. So the next thing comes, what is God saying to me about my life in time? Would He, if you had a dream, tell you to do something? Would that make you do it? Or because you found God's Word said something and He said, you know, Lord, for some reason I feel like this could be what I could do for you. I'd rather take the Word any time because that's what the Holy Spirit uses. Dreams can come from imagination. Ladies and gentlemen, this book's real. Would you stand to your feet, please? I beg you this morning, how do you hear from God? Yes, He spoke in times past a number of things, thus saith the Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you this. Listen to me carefully. He speaks to us through His Word. If you love the Word of God, you want to obey the Word of God. May God help us today to have time for it. Lord, I'm going to tell you what's the precious time that I've ever had around the Word of God. Father in heaven, honor yourself, Lord. Help us see where we get our authority. Lord, we have no authority in ourselves. God, help this book to see. Some people say that we worship a book with a binding and everything. Lord, no. We worship the Word of this book because it's the written Word about the Word. It is the Son of God. You see, we got our priorities right. We got our thinking right. The world looks at it as not. And Satan gives them these little slogans to get them sidetracked. God, please help me not get sidetracked. Lord, I pray for people in this church now who may love you, but they're getting sidetracked. To be sidetracked, Lord, they'll justify helping to see how much you love them. Helping to see the Word of God's the only thing we have. Please, God, please, please, please do it. Please do it. I've seen so many getting caught in the trap. Lord, help them today to see the reality of what it is to serve you. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.